Father, we put our trust in you. God, you are our firm foundation, and Father, for that we are thankful. Father, we thank you that you're the foundation that we can stand in joy, that we can stand in love, that we can stand in peace. Father, you are a firm foundation that doesn't get washed away by circumstances, that doesn't change our perspective. Father, you are there and you are a rock. And Father, I pray that as we continue to journey through just our position and understanding of you and how good you are, God, I pray that we would build that on that firm foundation of you. The foundation of you are unchangeable, you are unchanged, and you are good. So God, for that we thank you. Father, I pray that this morning as we talk about joy, that you would just spring up within us some joy, that we would be joyful people, that we would be known as joyful people. Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us in all things. Be with us this morning, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm gonna encourage you before you sit down. I want you guys to go to somebody, and I want you to tell them a joke. First joke that comes to your mind. I want you to tell them a joke. But you got to go to another table. And I know this is an advantage for the kids because you guys have all the best jokes. And it's also an even greater advantage to the dads because we have even better jokes. So go tell a joke to someone, please. I'm not joking. Let's go. Come on. Take a quick minute. Make up a joke if you don't know a joke. We can have a seat. You can turn me down a little bit, Nora. I adjusted my microphone so you can hear me louder. So that's fun. I hope you guys enjoyed some jokes. I've got some jokes for you. Just to start, because we're talking about joy. And yes, jokes aren't joyful, but when our perspective and our mind starts changing around happy things, positive things, atmospheres change, things change, perspectives change. So let's have some fun, okay? So what do you get when you combine a Christmas tree with an iPad? A pineapple. It's a good one, right? What does the December have that other months don't? The letter D. D is in December. Come on, you guys. That's a good one. Okay, I'll give you one more. What did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. So we're talking. Boy, those you guys. Oh, you guys are a rough crowd. See? He likes my jokes. You get that they're funny, Cohen. That's all that matters. That's why you're my favorite. I'm just kidding. So, This is the third week of Advent, and I thought, you know, because it's a Christmas banquet, because there's Christmas in the air, Christmas season, I was going to focus just on talking about joy. And the first week I talked about, does anybody remember what I talked about 2 weeks ago? Anybody? Boy, you guys weren't listening. It's online. Go listen to it. I don't want to re-preach it today, but we talked about hope. We talked about hope. And we talked about the hope we have in Christ. And we celebrated communion, and we kicked off Advent, which to some people may seem morbid to celebrate communion when we're kicking off Christmas, but it's what we did last year, and I want to do it again this year. So we kicked off Advent. We kicked off the Christmas season, talking about hope and celebrating communion. Because it's the resurrection that gives us hope, isn't it? Isn't that where we find our hope from? Man, if we didn't have the resurrection and we didn't have Jesus, what could our hope lie in? I don't think anything. Because if we put it in our circumstances, we have no hope. If we put it in family and friends, sure, they might be there sometimes, but you have no hope in that. So the only thing we can really truly put our hope in is in Jesus, right? And if you don't know or don't agree, come talk to me after. I'd love to have a discussion with you. But our hope as believers is found in Jesus, in the fact that He is who He says He is. He is God. He brought hope. He brought life. He brought love. He is God with us. And then last week, we had our missionaries. Oh boy, now I'm drawing a blank. Shelly and Peter, they're some of our missionaries, and they're with YWAM, and they were here talking, and I'm sure even through just hearing some of the message there, you would have heard about love, the love that they have for the people that they interact with. And Lyle shared a scripture about love, and it was John 3:16, for God so loved this world that He sent His only Son. That's love, isn't it? Man, that is love, to send your Son for these people. To die, allow Him to die for these people, for us, so that we can have life. That's love. And then we also talked, Lyle also talked about our little shoebox that's so elegantly wrapped. That should get a clap, guys. Look at that. It's already coming apart. It's barely been moved. It was harder than it looked. I hope you shared that. Good. That's good. It's harder to wrap than it looks, but it's what we're doing is we're collecting money to share love with the community from our church to some of the single moms in town. And we're buying some gift cards for them to be able to love them, to show that, you know, the representatives of Jesus here in Rosetown at Rosetown Community Church, we love you. Doesn't matter what's going on, we love you, and here's a gift. And we are blessing you because Jesus has blessed us. And I think that's something pretty awesome, pretty exciting to do as a church. And I'm excited to present these on behalf of our church. So then this is that third week of Advent, and we're talking about joy. And I think, to me, joy is a promise from God. See, God promised to send His Son as a Savior to the people, to us. And in the Bible, we get to read of Mary's joy in Luke 1:46 to 47. And Mary said, "Oh, my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Her spirit rejoices at Jesus. See, Mary's word can guide us to look for the joy of God, even when things may be uncertain or awkward or uncomfortable for us. If something's going wrong, we can always look to Jesus. If something doesn't look right, we can look to Jesus and the promises we have in Scripture, and that's what we can base our life upon. Amen? Can't we? Can't, things change in our life. Situations change. People change. But what's one thing that remains? Is Jesus and His promises. See, when Jesus was born, the angels, they confronted shepherds, didn't they? And what did the angels tell these shepherds? What did they tell them? They shared some joy and some good news with them, didn't they? Do you remember the story in Luke 2:8-11? And it says, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said, because I bring you good news that will bring great what? Great joy to all the people. And the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So Jesus' birth brought great joy, just like his death brought sadness and his resurrection brought hope to all people. His birth brought great joy. And during Advent, we celebrate and rejoice. During Christmas season, we celebrate with joy and we rejoice in his son being born, don't we? And I hope you do. I really hope you do. I hope you celebrate Christmas with joy. We don't mumble and grumble about whatever it is, so busy, it's so this, it's so. We have joy because we have purpose because we have Jesus. That's something to be joyful about. So today we rejoice. We rejoice because our Lord and Savior Jesus was born. And I pray that this fills our hearts and our days with joy. We rejoice that Jesus is with us always. Emmanuel, God with us. We have God with us all the time when we're in relationship with him, don't we? Isn't that something to be joyful about? It was funny because then a couple weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, I taught that same Sunday school class. We had a conversation about God being with us and the Holy Spirit being with us. And it was an interesting conversation because the question was, is he with you when you're in the bathroom? And I was like, well, he's not looking at, well, it's just awkward, don't you think? And I'm like, I don't know how to walk out of this conversation, but yes, he's always with you. But don't worry, he's not a peeping Tom. He's a loving God. And I really didn't know how to have that conversation because I've never had to have it. But it was a good conversation. I was embarrassed, actually, at the time, and I think I'm turning red telling it. So, but we rejoice because he is with us always, always. So what I want you to do is take 1 minute again and turn to people on the left and right and tell them that Jesus is with you always. Do it. So here's what I want you to do. Now that you've done it here once, you know what you need to say. So if somebody from our church or another believer comes to you and they start grumbling, remind them that Jesus is with them always. And his promises that he made back then are true today. Because when we start grumbling, we stop remembering his promises, we stop remembering his blessing, and we start focusing on the junk. We need to remember that he is with us always. And that should bring us joy. He's with us always. And I pray that the good news helps you live in a way that our words and our actions help others that are in our life experience joy. And that they experience life. And it's the life that only Jesus can give. And it's the joy in life that only he can bring into other people's lives. So I have a question for you. And it's, how do we help others know that God gives us joy? How do we help others know this? See, I think far too often, and I've kind of played light to this before, but far too often, we sit in our seats, I don't even intend to do that, and we sit like this, and we grumble and complain to Gary beside me or somebody beside me because the music's too this, this is too that. Oh, my life is falling apart. When it's not, because Jesus came and he brought us joy. So let's start celebrating the life that he brought us and not start just being down on everything and being negative, but let's celebrate joy together as a body. Let's celebrate life together that he brought together as a body. See, when we sit like that in that chair and be all negative Nellies, Debbie Downers, grumpy Gus's, I don't know all the terms you can use. But when we sit like that, why the heck would somebody want to come to church with you? Why would somebody want to know Jesus? Right? We need to show them the blessings. We need to show them the joy. We need to show them how good God is. And we can do that just by living our life as He's called us to live. A life of joy. As Mary and the team sang this morning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's a celebration. See, Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Something might go wrong because of the world. Go to the Lord. Rejoice because good is there. Jesus is leading us to something good. We need to walk away from that negativeness and walk towards glory and goodness. I'm going to ask the music team to come up and sing here in a moment. And you can actually come up now. But I have one thing I want to read to you. And it was actually shared this morning on our PAOC pastors page. And so I'm going to share it with you guys, okay? And what it is this. There's a superintendent, I don't know which denomination he's from, but this is a sharing that he shared with pastors. And I share it with you guys because I strive not to be, I strive to be the opposite of this. I strive to share joy in my life, and I strive to live with joy, okay? So this is what it says. It says, Phil states, this is the guy's name is Phil, if there is anything so glaringly apparent in the Christian church today, it's the colossal absence of joy. It's the absence of joy. We sang joy to the world. The Lord has come. How can we be absent of joy? And then it continues to say, he continues to say, if there is anything I have come to realize being a pastor to pastors is the growing evidence of depression among our shepherds. The absence of joy, the vacuum of genuine joy in their calling. Is this reality attributable in great part because we've decided that abiding with Jesus is an optional source of life, strength, and health, a secondary spring of hope, love, grace, peace, and purpose. And I think this applies to all of us, not just pastors, that too many people aren't abiding in His joy. We're not enjoying and experiencing His hope and His love and His grace and His peace and His purpose that He's called each and every one of us to. Living a life with Jesus is not optional. It's not making things easier. It's necessary to have a joyful life. And if we're living, if we say we're in relationship with Him and we're living non-joyful, man, we need to start spending some time with Him and getting recharged from the joy giver. Because if I was with somebody negative and not hanging out with positive people, what do I start to be? I start to be negative, don't I? We need to spend time with the giver of joy. We need to spend time with the Father, with God, and understand what it means to have joy. Understand what it means to love. That's what we need to do. So he continues on saying, at the birth of Jesus, the shepherds were filled with joy, which we read earlier. The wise men, upon finding him, what do? They rejoice, which is what we read. Joseph and Mary knew joy. Simeon and Anna had joy. The promise of God was fulfilled that the outcome was joy. Not because of anything we do here as a church, but because of Jesus. That's where we find our joy. And I pray that as we continue to hang out today, and that as we continue to live our life as believers and as people of God, as this church, that we would share joy in all things. That we wouldn't let things get us down, wouldn't let things distract us from the purpose and the mission, and that's to share His love and share joy. That's what we've been called to do. We've been called to share love. We've been called to share joy. So let's do that together. Because boy, can we have an impact on a negative world when we share joy. Amen? Guys, I like to make jokes. I like to have laughs. But I hope today I challenged you. If you're one of those negative Nellies, that maybe you start becoming a joyful Jesus follower. I can't think of a J name other than Jesus, so sorry. Joyful Joseph. Be a joyful Joseph, okay? Be a giddy Gertrude. Guys, remember, joy isn't based on your circumstances. It's based on Jesus. And it's based on His promises and who He is. So we're going to sing Joy to the World again. I didn't tell Mary this because it just kind of sprung on me while I was talking. And we're going to sing Joy to the World. And I want you guys to sing, not because it's a song that we're singing and the words are up there, or because I told some really great jokes, but sing Joy to the World because He is our Savior and He is our King. And He brought us joy. That's why we should be singing it. And we should be singing it with everything in us. Because He brought us joy, didn't He? And we should celebrate that. We should be excited about that. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And let's sing Joy to the World.